All right, welcome to this week's Foch's Corner. We've got Mr. UVA Basketball on Twitter, Phony Bennett, Fresh, Dougie Fresh Smith. Mark is going to join a little late. I'm TW, and I think Hav is going to join late as well. But we'll just kick it off, and those guys can join when they join. How are we feeling, Phony? How's UVA Twitter after three losses?
Twitter's kind of in a tizzy, I think. I mean, it's not something that the fans are used to. It's not something that the fans of any team like. So it's a tough time. And I would say during these times, we tend to see the fan base get a little bit divided, kind of turn on itself a little bit, which is interesting from an outsider perspective. It's not so much when you're a fan.
Yeah, what is your take on it? Like, there's a lot of calling out each other, and some people don't like negativity. Other people are like, oh, I'm just keeping it real.
Well, yeah, and you're seeing these people saying, well, you're not a real fan. Like, there's this idea that to be a real fan, you can't criticize your team, that you can't be unhappy with them, that you're just supposed to accept whatever it is that they're feeding you. And frankly, I just don't see it that way. I mean, if you're the consumer of a product, and let's face it, as a fan of a sports team, you're consuming their product. You know, I pay money to watch their product. I pay money for tickets to games that I never go to just to support them. So when I consume a product, whether it's a mail order pizza or a movie or something, I have the right to criticize it if I don't like it. Now, that doesn't mean they have to change it. They don't have to listen to me, and they probably won't, and that's okay. And right. I should be respectful in how I go about that. And I think, especially with social media, you've got a lot of players reading this stuff. You got the families reading this stuff. So I think it is important to be respectful. And a lot of times I'll ask myself, you know, before I tweet something, is this something that I'm going to find myself walking back tomorrow? Am I going to have to issue an apology tweet tomorrow because I came across? Because you have these immediate reactions that where you're just pissed off. Right. You want to say something kind of extreme. And so it's often good to put the phone down and close Twitter at that point. But to the idea that we can't be unhappy with the team, or that we can't say, you know, this team is not good, at least right now, I don't buy into that. I mean, you know, call it what it is. And if they're not playing well, if they're playing lethargically or listless or whatever, it's okay to say that.
Tony, have you ever done an apology tweet?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I probably haven't. I should have apologized for, right. You know, just because they weren't funny. But no, I mean, you know, I try to stand behind what I tweet. And last night I tweeted about them looking like I don't remember what it was. It was something about they're better than the individual players should make a better team. But I compared them to Voltron forming a Ford Pinto. And I expected to get a little bit more pushback on that one. But, right. I mean, people seemed – it was mid-game, and it was the first half. So nobody was watching that team, you know, thinking happy thoughts at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's definition or how they become – how they act as a fan is just – it's up to them, right? I mean, a fan is just like – you like this team. There's not a whole huge definition. Now, if you can throw a word like real fan, I have no clue what that means.
Right.
Real fan just supports the team and cheers for them. That's it. Like, right. There's a lot of wiggle room fanatic in there.
Yeah. We are fanatics, which indicates a certain level of obsession, which kind of pushes the limits of rationality at that point. So, I mean, we all yell things at the TV that we don't actually necessarily believe, but in the moment you get very unhappy with a player, with a performance of a team. I think before you put it on social media again, that's forever, and you need to really think through if that's the kind of thing that you want to stand behind. But you know, people are going to vent a little bit, and I get it. This is not what we're used to, and we've had reason to think at certain points this season that this team was going to be certainly a lot better than they showed last night. I mean, I think last night was probably their worst loss of the season.
Oh yeah, vis-a-vis what was expected. It's funny.
San Francisco, though.
I don't count San Francisco. It was the second game of the season. Everyone's trying to feel things out. To me, that's a non-conference loss to a top 100 team. It's a blip on the radar. But at this point, the last week of February, losing to a team like NC State, that's
okay. At home.
At home.
Sorry, what were you saying?
What were you saying?
Well, first of all, San Fran was not a surprise to me at all. If you guys remember, I said there's a very good chance we don't win this game, and I thought they would win. But I'm talking about true fans. So when we played, just to bring it back again, I apologize. You know, we had a lot of true fans, and it might have been Coach Holland. It might have been Coach Jones that kept him close to us. The fans that we were around didn't give a shit if we won or lost.
Right.
There were brownies. There were cookies. There were hugs. You know, we love you. That was great. See, you know, better luck next time. Win, lose, or draw. Now, I never saw the stuff. I saw it a couple times on Rugby Road where we'd be out, you know, going to a party and some KA is screaming like epithets at you for sucking that night or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
But the people that I thought were like big time Virginia fans, who would be us now, right? We're just embracing you. Oh, you guys lost. It's okay. There's another game next week. So social media, the whole thing has kind of ruined it because we're all tough whisperers. We can all voice our opinion. And I've embraced it and I kind of like it because I can talk about, you know, what I would do differently as a coach and feel like I'm educating other people. But I think the real fans are the real fans. And they love the fact that we're not one and done. That we have kids that play for 3 to 4 years, mostly four, and they want to follow them, and they'll bake brownies for them every day of the week if they can, and or banana bread.
But would you call someone a real fan who criticizes the team after last night's performance?
It's changed, right?
I mean that's the thing. Can you call yourself a fan?
I criticize a team, but yeah. I think we're allowed to and supposed to sort of, but. A real fan, sure.
And one of the things I think we're seeing a stark difference is from a lot of the previous Virginia teams is where this fan base has come. It's very spoiled. Expectations are set absurdly high at this point. I mean, there was a time we were happy to make the tournament. I mean, just, you know, Selection Sunday was a big deal because you find out if you made it and you're jubilant. And now it's, well, if they don't make the Final Four, you know, it's so different, and it's toxic in a lot of ways on a fan base to start to have those kinds of.
You know what? I thought about this today because I knew we were going to have this discussion. And what did Tony Bennett do when he won the ultimate prize? He went down on his knee and he thanked his God, whatever you care about that or think about
right.
that.
Right.
He didn't expect it. He doesn't expect it. He wants it. And he's going to do everything he can to get it because he's a hyper competitive person. But now the team lost 3 games in a row, and you know we're going to question the whole thing. No,
yeah,
like it's just these things happen, and you know it's what it is. That was horrible last night. Let's be honest. Let me detract and say that was terrible, awful effort, awful enthusiasm. We got outcoached, we got outbeat, outplayed, blah blah blah. But as a fan, that's our squad, man.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and all the
doesn't mean you
any non-fans.
But yeah, doesn't mean you're not going to follow them anymore. Just you can voice your opinion if you're not happy with where they. I mean, that's part of being a fan, right? You get to say whatever you want.
people like to commentate and be the what's today, Thursday morning coach, and talk about the game, which is it's fun too, you know. And we go back and forth. I enjoy it so.
We've got 6 losses. It's late February. We've got 6 losses, 2 more regular season games left. If we lose out for the rest of the year, it's a 10-loss season. I remember when having less than 10 losses was the measure of success for a team. Single-digit losses, that's huge. And now it's practically guaranteed that. And, you know, everyone's still
– Hey, back in the day, 500 in the ACC was a great season.
Oh, right. Might get you into the dance.
Yeah. The times have changed. But I think, yeah, the influx of fans that have come in since TV's era definitely,
right.
You know, on the spoiled side for sure, for good reason. And also, I was talking to my brother about this. When we went to the Final Four, the intensity of that game was so incredible. Like, it's like the highest of highs. It's almost like, it's hard to go back to like, all right, now we're going to play San Francisco game 2 and you know, you think back just not that long ago and you've got 75,000 in that arena. I mean, it is different. And now I understand. I never thought I would. But those Duke fans that have gone through that, you're like, you're so spoiled. You don't get it. Now we kind of get it.
Right.
If you're dealing with that every game. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
How many years ago was that? We won 12, 5?
Yeah, feels like it. Two. We're still the reigning champs. It's so weird to hear that yesterday during the podcast. They're like, well, they take down the reigning champs. It's like, what?
Right. That seems like a lifetime ago.
That's why, again, I'm trying. I'm watching Coach Bennett and thinking about it. Like, he's a basketball coach, right?
Yeah.
He's not a K yet. He's not expecting to lose three games. He's like, no, every game we coach and we play and we win or we lose. It's not matter of fact that we're favored by 11 and we beat them by 12. He's really in the.
Well, that's probably why Kay is such a sore loser, because he's got that expectation now.
Yeah, that's very true.
I thought about this. I have an opinion on Coach Kay. It's not important for this right now, but I think I know what happened to him. So, anyhow.
The one thing, and if you watch that post game after the championship, the first thing Tony Bennett says is to remain humble after the championship. That's kind of amazing. That's honestly awesome. Like, right? He goes in the locker room, gets everybody around, and the first thing he says is, "Hey, all I want to ask of you is to stay humble." And it's like, wow, this guy is just. Yeah. Anyway, it's really hard to question it.
Look at each other, and Malcolm was there.
Yeah.
For the record, I couldn't be there because they knew I'd be like with a champagne thrown on people's heads.
Yeah. Right.
We're the best ever. Like, who cares? And now I'm like, no, it was really cool. Look at yourselves. Look at each other, and it's on film, the whole thing. And I think Ty talked about it on the
podcast. Play Kendrick Lamar.
Anyhow,
did he play?
What's that?
Did he play Humble by Kendrick Lamar?
Yeah, exactly. That's what he should have done.
Yeah. Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, no, it was.
But you're right.
It's amazing. So anyway, what is
the kids? Hmm? The kids love it. Ty talked about it. Kyle talks about it. Dre, they love it, right?
Yeah.
Not every kid can follow basketball.
Yeah, coach, whatever. I'm going to the club tonight. But they all, it's pretty cool. It's very different.
Well, he's recruiting the right kids, though. I mean, that starts with who he chooses.
I'm the wrong kid.
What's that?
Well, I'm the wrong kid, because I would have been like, yo, let's go to the club.
I mean, he may have sold you, but by the time you were a senior, you'd be on the same page as him.
Yeah, I'd be 4 3/4 pillars by that time. You're right.
No, I think it comes down to that, right? Like he recruits the like a character as part of that, and he gets a guy that he wants to, right, that's down to lose with and win with. Right. So that's like a pretty interesting dynamic that we don't talk about now that we're actually losing. That these are really good kids, right? These are really good kids that are trying to win, and they lost, and then everyone bashes them. It's like, wow, what kind of animals are
we? People, and it bothers me, and it would really bother me as a parent to see people questioning their effort. And we were talking about that a little bit earlier. I think as fans, we tend to overreact and try to ascribe a lot of what's going on, or try to determine a lot of what's going on inside a player's head just by their body language. And well, you know, his heart's not into it. He's not giving. And, you know, first of all, you don't know what's going on in that kid's head. And I think it's a lot to try to say, well, he's thinking this or that, or he doesn't believe in this team or whatever. But I did think it was interesting to hear Tony saying that he didn't think they were playing with enough energy. And I don't remember all the different words that he used, but a lot of that mirrored what a lot of the fans, I think, were saying right now.
And I'll say something about Reese that I haven't thought about. So he started out the year way above expectations for fans. And he's had 7 games where he's not been good. And so we're like, all right, you suck. You know, he lost. He lost his brother. Somebody brought it to my attention, his brother's a football player in
California. Like in the offseason, he lost his brother.
He lost his brother. He has not been home, to my knowledge. Like
this whole season, right?
He's a quiet kid who grew up in Louisiana from Wisconsin. You can see he's quiet. We talked about Jay. We talked with Jay Willie about it.
Yeah.
And like for people to take shot, and he's been left alone. Why more so? I think that people more think he should like take the reins and do it. Me too. Not really, but whatever.
No, I got you.
But there's things going on.
Being hard on him, but I mean, yeah, I mean that's a good point. This stuff, people want to act like the only thing in this kid's life is basketball, and right. That's the only thing. But I mean, these kids have relationships. They've got classes that they worry about. I used to stress about classes, and I didn't have a scholarship riding on it. Right. You know, and they have family stuff. They've got the pandemic that's affecting them in a lot of greater degree than it is a lot of.
You could go to a party if you wanted to. You got an A on your test. You can go blow off steam. They can't do it. He doesn't know his students, his the co-eds, the friends that he can make.
Right. He has no school life.
Find a guy like him, whatever he's like, you know.
Yes,
I never appreciated where I'm from Fayetteville, Tennessee, because I always just wanted to get out until I went to college. And I was hearing about what my family was doing, my friends were doing, and I'm like, man, I'm missing out on all this fun stuff that you guys are doing, which wasn't even really fun, by the way. So imagine Reese, his boys are home, like, and his family's home. Oh, you miss this gathering. So that's real stuff, man. Right.
Yeah, it's tough. And think about this being your first year playing college basketball, and there are no fans, and you can't go to class, and there are no students, and you're away from family, and you know, that's a lot.
That's how it's supposed to be. It's not supposed
to be like this at all. Yeah, that is a lot.
And then you go to Bodo's, and you have a mask on, and people, they probably know who you are, but they don't. But it's the whole thing too, like autographs or like your photo, like. It might not even be fun. I don't know.
Right.
And then the counters. Well, everyone's dealing with that. It's not different, but it's also like everyone's going through that, but it's, you know, everyone's circumstances are different.
Yeah, we don't care about everyone. We care about
our because we just talked about it. You're talking about character kids that are coming in that want to do it right and want to be right. So then it just makes it really, really tough.
Yep.
So what is our expectations now? We talked about this. Let's do another weekly check-in. What are your, Phony, what are your expectations now after three losses?
I mean, I think we'll win our next one. I don't even know who we're playing. I still believe in the talent of this team and the ability to figure out. I'm disappointed that they haven't done that yet, haven't put it together. And I wonder if this team, for some reason, and that might be an interesting topic of discussion, if this team is not more affected by the lack of crowds than some other teams. You know, does that defensive intensity, are they feeding off that crowd noise for them or against them? Are they feeding off that more? Because remember, possibly their best performance of the season was at Clemson, which I believe was the first game that had any real number of fans.
Yep. And that's when Clemson was the number one rated defense in the country.
Right. And our guys were fired up. If they put in that kind of intensity every game, you know, we might only have two losses right now.
Right.
Still probably don't beat Gonzaga. and you know, say you drop another one. But and I wonder if that's affecting them. I still have to believe that they'll get it back on track, because I'm a fan of this team. You see a lot of discouraging stuff, and I think it's going to take some bigger changes. I think we're going to have to start seeing some lineup changes, and you know, Sam and Jay, you know, we definitely need those guys in as much as possible. We need to find a way to get those guys more shots, and I know they're trying to work on some different offensive looks and stuff. We're running out of regular season time. We got two regular season games left, and they've got to start figuring that stuff out, because the long-term outlook on this team isn't great right now if they play like they did last night. It's going to be a very brief postseason if they play like that. And but I believe they can, because I know they have the talent, and I believe they have the best coach in the country. So that's where I am.
Fresh, where are you?
I think our next game is against Miami.
Yep.
Okay. And I don't care if it's in Spokane, Washington. We're all going to Miami for the game. Even though it's in Charlottesville, is my point. Havs is telling us no, it's in Miami, guys. Let's all come down, hang out with me. We'll do it. So, I'm not sure where I was going with that.
That's Monday. Yeah, so we don't play this week.
It's a Monday game.
Got a few extra days to think about.
I mean, I would say the one thing with the three teams we played could spread the floor and have five guys in guard correct. Not everyone's going to be able to do that the way those three did it. So yeah, there is, it's not like, I mean, Miami might be able to do it, unfortunately, but other than that, it's like when we go in the tournament, not everyone's going to have the manpower to do what those guys did. So it should be fun. It's going to be matchup dependent. I mean, win one in the tournament, we'll see.
I got to say, I'm terrified that Duke's going to win the ACC tournament.
It's possible.
They're peaking at just the right time, mm-hmm. and they're starting to believe in themselves. Florida State, I think, might be able to stand in their way. But, man, I don't want that to happen.
Well, Florida State looked really good, so we'll see. That'll be interesting. And we just got Mark. Mark just joined us. Appreciate you jumping in.
Thanks, Mark.
Mark, we solved everything, by the way, in the first 20 minutes, 30 minutes. So
yeah.
And as good. as the consultant for UVA basketball,
yep.
Dougie, did you already reach out to Jay Willie and Tony Bennett and let them know?
Nah, I don't do that, man.
But you're the consultant, so I just, you know.
I know.
They should probably know.
I'm more concerned, if we can shift gears, about Junior Burrow trying to win the state championship. And or
Cade Lemke.
Kobe.
Cade Lemke's team is playing right now. It's halftime. It's 29-18.
I don't care about
they're up.
I do care about Cade, but Kobe, you know. So
I haven't seen the game yet. I just walked in and have not seen the play yet. But I think, you know, two UVA guys going for the Virginia State Championship is pretty impressive. It's pretty cool.
Pretty neat. That's really neat.
Again, right? Or no?
Yeah, back to back. Let's hope there's a rematch.
It should be that way.
All right, Mark's here. Let's get that tweet up.
All right. For the first tweet is one we think you're gonna like, Mark. And you've seen the text already. Ty Jerome recalled from Oklahoma City Blue to now Oklahoma City Thunder.
He got the call midnight last night. Awesome. Somewhere around then from the GM.
Wow.
To bring him back.
To come up, yeah.
He's feeling better, it looks like. I mean, the last game, he looks like he's moving a little better.
He says it's about 75-80%. Right. 75 is what he said.
Amazing. Getting shots.
Getting there. I mean, the first game, he definitely looked a little slow. Second one, I thought he looked better, which I thought it would have been the reverse, right? But whatever.
They host Atlanta.
Oh, nice.
Oh, Dre?
They won't be playing, though.
Yeah, Dre's out.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. Yeah, he had the meniscectomy.
That's right. And then the next tweet, someone we haven't talked about. Braxton Key put up 10 points, 4 for 5, 2 boards, 1 assist in 8 minutes last night for the Delaware Blue.
I love that. That kid is – he's such a nice kid.
Yeah, he is
so sweet. He's so thoughtful.
And look at him go. So I'll put this in the link in the description, but a little bit of highlights of
his they're getting minutes. Rough, right? 99 to 135?
Yeah, they're getting
– okay.
Oh, they got smoke?
Yeah, they got – yeah, they're down 30. But the other – UVA connection with Delaware, Devin Smith, former podcast guest,
yep.
is assistant there. So it's pretty cool. It's exciting.
Dougie, I've mentioned this a couple of times.
Yep.
Braxton Key's dad and I hung out in South Carolina quite a bit, had a really good time. You would have enjoyed it. You would have had a really good time.
I would have brought the energy a little bit higher, maybe, or no, lower.
You definitely would have brought a little, I don't know. You would have been, it would have been a really good time. We had so much fun. We closed it down. We closed South Carolina down. Or not the whole South Carolina.
Wasn't Braxton a Tennessee boy?
I'm Alabama. Wrong. He transferred from Alabama.
Yeah.
No, I know, but I think he's from Tennessee originally. No? Oh, boy. I'm in trouble.
Phony, what do you drink, bourbon or?
I'm a bourbon drinker.
Oh, you would have had a good time with us too.
Yeah. This is actually rye, Michter's rye I'm drinking tonight, but bourbon is my drink of choice.
They had a smoky bourbon that was so good.
Yeah.
And not that I know smoky from non-smoky, because I hardly drink.
Well, I can't even think about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess, yeah, it's varying levels. I mean, it's not, not quite like a scotch where you get that, like, you know, peat bog on fire taste, but, no, I'm a big fan of Braxton. I felt like he was like, I kind of like the rock of that team. He was the steady constant, through those games, and these other guys would rise around them and have the big games, and Braxton was just always right there chugging along. And that's why I love that dunk at the end of the national championship game that just kind of put it to bed. That was the moment that as a fan you were like, okay, we can celebrate now, it's okay
then. Right, that was terrifying up until then,
right?
Terrifying is the word, TW. That's
it really was though. My brother and I probably have a conversation every week about the Final Four for some reason, but like the tension, and I just remember hanging on every play. Oh, like, that intensity was just unmatched. I've never felt that in my life. Like, it definitely changes. I mean, the level of, I don't know, intensity, I guess, for these games feels different. I wonder how that is for someone like Coach Bennett. We should ask Jay Willie that. Like that's the high of all high, like coaching in that atmosphere, in that game, does that change your perspective today on some of these games?
Because I'll tell you something, I don't think Coach Bennett changes, man. He's like, he could be playing in our high school gym and he's just a coach. He's like, yeah,
I get it, but he's trying to win. But then you've done it at that level, like 75,000 fans, you've done it, all of the hype around it. You can't tell me when you're prepping for Kent State. Don't feel a little different. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe he's different. I mean,
at a restaurant and there's a Papa shot and it's like the high score is 150 and he does not leave until he's sweating and he gets one.
Until he gets in.
For the record, Braxton Key, Christ Presbyterian Academy, Nashville, Tennessee. Fresh right again.
Oh, nice.
Dougie, I'm going to disagree with you about TB. Because yeah. I think
you know the better.
2018, 2019,
yep.
I think his style, his level of intensity, and I think he may have felt some pressure. I never saw him scream at a kid on the court. I know he's done it in practice, mm-hmm. rarely, like he did. They were playing Virginia Tech.
Yeah, halftime.
Oh, yeah.
Halftime, Kihei throws the ball away right before halftime.
Yep.
First year, like he's getting a lot of minutes. It's like, wow, a freshman or first year is getting this many minutes. That's really impressive. Kihei gets the steal or a rebound, or it was pitched to him off a rebound, and he tries to throw it ahead. And we were up, I don't know what we were up at the time, 6 or 8, something like that, maybe 5, whatever. And they intercept the pass, and they score. It was they intercept the ball in the paint or right near the three-point line. They hit a shot at the buzzer. Going to halftime, TB comes on the court and gives it to Kihei.
Right.
He laid into him. And I've never seen that with him. Right. He's usually just really calm and poised, like you want your players to be.
Well, on TV,
pressure.
In camera, he is.
Well, rule number one for TB, if you want to get minutes as a freshman, take care of the ball. Mm-hmm. Like, before you have to score points and actually do positive things, just take care of the ball. And that's where, I mean, you've seen so many guys get their minutes immediately cut, and so many guys get minutes when they might be missing shots and stuff, and that's okay. But you start turning it over, you make dumb passes, or you just take really bad shots, you're gone.
Right on cue. Next tweet, Naismith, Defensive Player of the Year, semifinalist, Kihei Clark.
And again, I'm not hating. I'm not key hating. I'm curious, what is this based on?
It's got to be, well, the Naismith they have a panel that votes on it. So
I get it. And he definitely deserves to be there. I'm very happy about it. I hope he wins it. But what's
he?
I don't know. I'm saying, Mark, you know more than me about basketball now. What is it based on to be a good defensive player? You tell me.
Does it deserve either? I don't know. And I think that's what we have to find out. What's the criteria to be on
the top 10 deals,
finalists?
Stopping your guy. 10-second calls.
I mean, I think Virginia is at the point where these guys are like, who's the best defender on Virginia?
Right. Yeah, I think that's where it is.
And he's going on the list. And I'm not sure that he is. I think he probably is, because I'm thinking Jay Huff does some wonderful stuff, but then we see Jay Huff just get abused every now and then. So, but I think it's more of a respect for what Virginia does. He's very good. I don't know that what he's shown this year is one of the five best in the nation.
I mean, there's one freshman on here.
Who's that?
USC Evan Mobley.
Evan Footer. One and done.
Crazy.
He's big though, right?
Yeah, 7-footer. Yeah, he's going to be. I think he's going to be a lottery pick.
For the record, I think USC starts. Their starting five is like 6'10".
Right.
I have a buddy. I met a guy who moved here from LA, and he told me that. I'm like, no chance. I looked it up. It might be 6'10".
Across
the board. It Davion Mitchell from Baylor is so good defensively, really, really talented.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah,
that's a tough one to. I mean, it's clearly just an eye test, if that, and you're probably asking people that aren't watching that many games.
Yep.
So they're just literally like, all right, Virginia's good at defense. Kihei's been there for a while, voting for him.
That's right. No, it's the same way that ACC players are picked.
Yeah.
Right? It's the same way all conference players are picked. It's the same all over. It's the same way all Americans are picked. All
right.
You look at the stats for the most part, because there's no way somebody's watching Virginia play all the time. And there's no way the same person's watching Baylor play. And the same person's watching Western Kentucky with the kid Bassey on it.
Yeah.
And USC is. I don't know how you determine that.
Yeah, but I don't know that you could look at any particular defensive stats for Kihei. I mean, defensive is a tough one to judge by looking at
it. Is. Yeah. It absolutely is.
Doesn't your guy do defensive stats? Like how many times people are scored to score on you?
I mean, the regular stats don't have a lot of that. So it's I'm looking now. KenPom does not give. Give me a ding. KenPom does not give a defensive rate. I'm looking. So you have offensive rating, because I think KenPom stuff is all numbers driven. And again, I think that's defensive rebound percentage. You have individual things like block rate and defensive rebounding, but. Yeah, we really don't have. I don't know. Does Torvik have defensive stats? The T rank. Let's see what the T rank has. But I mean, what do you guys think? Is Kihei one of the best five?
I only watch Virginia, so like my ability to decide on anything nationally is like zero. But. Sure, why not? I love Kihei. Like, I don't know.
Right. I certainly can't say that he's not. I haven't watched enough, but I suspect that the reason that he's on there is just because he's likely the best defender on Virginia, and we've earned a spot.
Right. Right. He knows. Is he
a better defender than Reese? Is he a better defender
on the ball?
Nope.
On the ball, I mean, Reese yesterday got some tips. His hands are just lightning quick.
He's also
Reese got beat three times off the dribble to the basket.
Yeah, his feet, different story, right? But his hand, like sometimes he get his hands are like his anticipation with hands, incredible.
Oh, he's an incredible on ball defender. Incredible, especially for first year.
But yeah, you say same deal. Like he does. Yeah, what killed Reese yesterday? What it seemed like was. When he got to the hole and he just got stuffed, right? When that one time where he got loose, he got all the way to the rim and he just got pinned. And that was like head down, didn't shoot it again, I don't think, the rest of the game. Which,
man, that really unfortunate turnover late.
Yeah. That was a tough one. All right. Other stuff trending. I mean, this is outside of the UVA basketball world, but definitely Tiger Woods. He crashed his Genesis GV80.
And that was like a loaner car from the tournament. Is that the deal?
Yeah. He's a sponsor of the tournament that he's playing in.
Yep.
That's a shame because, I mean, he's one of those rare athletes that you is just can be so dominant when he's at his best that it just feels like such a loss to the entire sports world if he's not able to play golf again.
So I a buddy of mine here, not a buddy, but a guy I know, he's from L.A., and he told me about that specific road, and it's very infamous for people doing that.
Really?
Speed limit's 45. Everybody goes 80, and it twists and turns, and there's, you know, the hills and, you know, Starsky and Hutch type shit, right? There's hills and the whole thing. So, like, think of Tiger Woods, right? Type A, I'm sure. I'm 15 minutes late. I have this nice car. I'm going to go 90, 100, 110.
There was no brakes. There's no brakes, no skid marks.
I have no idea if he was going 20.
Yeah, that part is a little alarming to me. Like, if he was really speeding, you would see something. You probably, right? And he went out of control and went down the wrong lane. You'd probably see some tire marks on something. I don't know. Yeah. Seems to me like he fell asleep on the wheel, but what do I know? Like, if there's no marks and you cross the median for a while and then you hit a tree, you probably fell asleep. But
if I'm being critical, why is Tiger even driving? Like, if he's typing.
Yeah, we were talking about that. Why is he driving 7 in the morning? He can afford a driver. He can afford
Uber.
Multiple drivers. He can afford a driver for his driver. Weird.
But it's type A. I'm telling you, he's like, you know, he probably likes it. Probably likes driving. I don't. I fall asleep.
He likes it. He wants the privacy. He wants to be able to go where he wants, when he wants, probably. Or maybe some people just say, hey, driving gives me some normalcy in life. Like, for him,
right?
Maybe that's the time to himself. He gets to drive 7 in the morning, 180 miles an hour in a Hyundai, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a shame. Well, I'm glad he's alive because I got some Kobe vibes when I saw this. I was like, oh, my goodness.
Right. Yeah, when it first came out, like Jaws of Life and
surgery
and stuff. And these guys are A to B, right? Like, I got to be there. And so it's just matter of fact from A to B. Kobe in the helicopter, not saying anything that I know anything about. But my daughter has a game there. I have a tournament here. Superfluous, the route between, right? You just got to be there. So I don't know.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Well, we still got Tiger. So
yeah.
I don't know if he's gonna be playing again. I haven't seen anything other than like some shattered. I think he had a shattered ankle and some rods placed in his. I don't know if he's gonna be playing anymore, but whatever. He's alive. He's still on Earth. His family still got him.
Yep.
Crazy.
By the way, there's a better story about this. So the Clippers. Oh, there's three Clippers back in the day. TW, you know this. The kid from East St. Louis. I'm ruining the story. Long story short, there were three Clippers and Shaq's in L.A. And they're young bucks, $20 million contract.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Darius Miles, Quentin Richardson. Yeah.
You know the story, though, when Shaq pulled them over?
No, what was it?
So they're balling. They bought an Escalade. They're all together having a blast, right, playing like Eric B. and Rakim. And all of a sudden, there's a cop car coming behind them. And they're like, oh, man. Look down, we're like, we're going 65 in the 60, like whatever. Cop pulls him over, and cop gets out, big dude. It's Shaquille O'Neal for the Lakers. He had the fake cop thing up.
Byron
gets out and he's like, boys, show me your license and whatever. And like, oh, Shaq, come on, man. He totally clowned him. It's a great story. And I think I saw it on a podcast or Players Tribune or whatever. Yeah, Darius Miles. That's funny though, right?
That is crazy. All right. So I just found why Tiger Woods was driving by himself. He was going to a Discovery shoot, Discovery TV shoot.
Yep.
To meet Peter Berg, Drew Brees. So
he was starting his day. Like,
yeah, he was going to work.
Yeah. Here.
I think also the actor that's terrible. You probably like him, phony. And Dwayne Wade. Remember they were doing those?
Oh, that was, yeah, they do something the day before. But this morning he was meeting with Peter Berg, Drew Brees, just in their second day of a 2-day shoot for for a documentary called Tiger Woods, My Game.
Okay.
So they actually had originally arranged for a chauffeur to get him. It's unclear why he did not. That's a shame.
Yeah.
Yep. He probably likes to drive. You said he probably wanted to
feel normal, right? You get to drive, get behind the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. Anyway, anything else you guys want to add this week? Chill out to fans.
Yeah, I mean, this,
or not.
The season is going to be what it's going to be, and whoever ultimately wins it, considering we're going to probably have some teams that make the NCAA tournament that never play a game that end up being replaced by a backup team. The NCAA released some guidelines on that. There's going to be a big asterisk next to this season. We still want to see our team win. We still want to do well, but I'm just happy that there's basketball, and I keep trying to remind myself that that's at least nice, is something that sort of grounds all of us, as we can all sit down and watch sports, even though things are so weird right now.
Right. What is your take on it, Mark? What do you say to the?
I think double-edged sword.
Craze fan that's up in arms.
Double-edged sword. The fans, especially the crazy ones, have helped create an expansion of college sports, which I happen to absolutely love. Along with that, and with social media, there's going to be a lot of criticism. Yeah. Right? Everybody can critique now, right? It's not just the newspaper writers and the TV reporters. It's everybody and anybody. And not everybody is nice in the world, right? I looked on, we had a show, our post-game show, or our pre-game show, yesterday, when I talked about Cade and Junior Burroughs possibly going against each other,
nope.
And I said Norfolk State instead of Norfolk State, this guy wrote a comment like, "Okay, my man, you take it easy. You need a hug." Like, okay,
he's like shaking my head. Pronouncing that properly.
What's that?
Yeah. So people get very seriously about how Norfolk is supposed to be pronounced. And I'm not from here, and I don't pronounce Norfolk the way that the locals do.
But I said fork, right? Instead of folk, right? Whatever. But like there, that's just an indication, a reflection of somebody's personality that is just intense, right? And wound up. And some people are just looking to bash and be critical.
Yeah, they're in the pounce. They're ready to pounce.
That's something. And some people are just critical people.
Wired like that.
In everything they do. So now you come sports and something that they're really passionate about. And now you have this arena where they are where they're rooting for their team or rooting for any team. And it's like, oh man, I get to critique and I get to beat up and I get to abuse behind social media. Right. I'm loving this. I'm having a cool day, right?
Yeah.
And I just get to go off on anybody I want to go off on. I can talk trash and I can beat up anybody. Like, dude, calm down.
that's essentially my entire online existence. I mean, you recognize that, right? I mean, hopefully it's done with a modicum of respect, but being able to criticize your team or to
goof on them.
Yeah. I mean, that's the joy of being fun.
Yeah. And there's a fan. That's part of being a fan, right? You have the opportunity to be critical or whatever, or in the moment, but like it's in the moment, right? And it's somewhat irrational, and you have a reaction. And some people, and again, you take personalities into those, right? When people have reactions, some people are just, they are immediate reactors. And some people take a deep breath and they're like, oh, okay, let me think about this. And I've been both. And okay.
We actually got to talk about that before you were here tonight, Mark, that the importance of asking yourself, is this a tweet I'm going to have to walk back in the morning, you know, before you press send? Like, you know, we have those immediate reactions and, you know, you might say that to whoever's in the room, but you don't need to put that out into the world because deep down, it's not really how you feel.
I don't know. I think some people do feel that way, Coach. I think there are people.
Some people, sure. Some people that end up getting pilloried for saying an over-the-top reaction are, you know, they don't feel that way. They felt that way in the moment, and there's this frustration that, oh, this is the worst teams, you know. And we all know that's not the case. But you just want to yell at the clouds or something.
I go back to like fans. Just respectfully, like people, there's all these posts and you guys probably talked about this earlier too, saying, oh, you're not a real fan, or I absolutely can be critical of the coaching staff and certain players. It doesn't mean just it. And if you don't think that, then that means you're just a butt kisser or whatever. and it's my right to be able to do that. Okay, it's your right, but do it in a respectful way. Like, I don't come to your job and tell you if you've done something wrong, and clearly you're going to do something. No one's perfect. The kids aren't, these kids are 18, 19, 20 years old, whatever the age they are, 22. Like, the coaching staff is going to make mistakes. It's not like, and I keep using this as an analogy, it's not like you're walking to the computer and someone's stopping you from getting on your laptop and typing words physically. Right. Like, someone's trying to physically, like Jay Huff, the kid scored on Jay Huff in the interior last night. Okay, the kid's pretty good. Jay Huff tried. It wasn't like he wasn't trying.
Right.
These guys aren't perfect, and they're not going to ever play the perfect game. No one's going to shoot 100% from three. People aren't going to miss. 40% is considered really good shooting threes. People get paid a lot of money to shoot 40% or bat 300 in the major leagues. Millions of dollars. That's
310. I said all the time, Marky. The other team wants to win too.
The other team wants to win just as
badly. They're not just there to be like to lay down. They want to win.
They are, and they're good.
Had a great quote yesterday, right?
And they're good.
If I knew we would lose, we wouldn't have scheduled it. But Marquette wants to
win. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. So. Absolutely. They want to win just as badly as I do. Absolutely. Right.
Yeah.
And you want to win. Like, what's greater than that?
Right.
TW, by the way, we should do a podcast on accents in Virginia.
That's a lot.
It's bizarre. So I'm from Fayetteville, Tennessee, and everybody in Tennessee speaks the same except for Memphis. It's a big twang. It's varied. It's varied a little bit. But Virginia, it's very strange, man.
It's a lot. A lot.
You can say Norfolk, Norfolk, right?
Yeah, I say Norfolk.
Norfolk.
But yeah, like the real locals say Norfolk. And I've never been able to do that. But I don't say y'all either because I'm not from here. I
don't say y'all
most of my life. I don't really say y'all.
Yeah, you don't say y'all? I like y'all.
I'm more of a you guys.
That's kind of universal. Y'all. Hey, y'all, what's happening?
Yeah,
oh, y'all. Come on, y'all. Let's go.
Yeah, it's just not me. I'm not a y'all guy. If I say it, If I say it, I'm probably saying it ironically or for some sort of effect, but it's not something that.
Y'all, I tried to cut back because someone said when I moved out to California and I said, somebody's like, I've never heard that before. Someone say y'all. I was like, all right. And didn't y'all. Even realize that was a regional thing.
Anyway. Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely a southern thing. But
I think it started a regional thing. I think it was a southern thing many, many, many years ago.
Y'all? Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, y'all. Right, but now it's
yeah, we say it like that.
Virginia has a weird border of between the north and the south. Yeah. Technically, the south, it really most cities don't feel like the south. Like, and that's why iced tea is so weird. If you go down south and you order iced tea, you're getting sweet tea.
Yeah.
Up north, Mark, if I order iced tea, is it sweet or unsweet?
Unsweet.
Unsweet. In Virginia, you always specify because we're on that dividing line and
sweet or unsweetened.
You say unsweet or sweet.
They ask you sweet or unsweet.
Yeah. That's
you can't assume right here.
Yeah. Dougie, you know, I got family from Nashville.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my grandmother used to make sweet tea all the time. I used to beg her to make
it. It's so sweet. My family's from Illinois. So we never had sweet tea.
Right.
And I hate sweet tea.
Yeah, me too.
It's like syrup. I don't know. I might get it when I'm at Bojangles.
The big thing where I'm from in Fayetteville, Tennessee.
When in Rome.
A one syllable word turns into like three. So my sister's name is Jill. J-I-L-L. Hey, nice to meet you. What's your name? Jill. Like two syllables. So when we do this, we should have her, and she's the best. She's the greatest mom I've ever seen, except for my mom, of course. But it's so funny, man. They turn words and they flip them.
Douglas?
No, I'm Doug.
Your mom? I thought she called you Douglas.
Oh, Douglas. Mom. Yeah, my mom calls me Douglas for sure.
Yeah. That's funny. It's funny you mentioned Dougie. Accents in Virginia.
Yep.
I was visiting cousins in D.C., and we went to King's Dominion, and I was really young. I was living in Brooklyn, and my mom, my parents sent me and my brother and my sister, I think, and my cousin go visit, and we went to King's Dominion, and somebody said something to me, and I was like, what? It was the first time I have ever heard a Southern accent. Yeah. I think I was 8 or 9 years old. Maybe a little older, but it was insane. Yeah, I'll never
forget. I love linguistics. I speak fluent Portuguese. I speak Black Southern. I speak Southern. I love it all. But it's really cool. But when I went to Virginia, I'll never forget, I signed a guy at my church, old guy. He was like, hey, boy. Yes, sir. Don't you be going up there and getting that Northern accent. I'm like, man, I'm going to Virginia. But Virginia has, they have it's diverse.
When I moved to California, most people thought I had a Southern accent. They thought it was so weird that an Asian dude rolling around with a Southern twang. And I think it's gone away over, I've been out here 20 years.
I certainly don't detect it. I've been told a couple times in my life that people thought I did. And I'm like, no, I've fought against that my entire life. And
now you have a neutral. You're like radio. Guys.
That's good. Is
not New York.
Very.
I don't detect either you or T-Dubs, coach. Southern accent. No Southern twang whatsoever.
We did it, T-Dub. We got out of the.
Got out of it. And I probably, when I moved out here, I was probably like, I reckon you're it. No. No, I probably was speaking like that, and it, I went away, but whatever, you know.
T.W. speaks like he talks like a Black dude from Virginia.
That's probably true. I got that a lot on the phone too.
When
I show up in person, I thought you were Black. I was like, oh, sorry to disappoint. I don't know
who even says something like that.
You know. It is what it is. Not
right. It's just, I can't imagine. And how do you respond to that?
There was a couple times where it was bad in a sense, because I was making a tee time for golf, and you know, you have to give your we're talking about something first, and then he asked for my name, and he's like, "Oh, I thought you were Black." I was like, "What? What?"
I don't even know what you'd say in response to that.
It's like, okay, all right. Well,
so my first job on the American Stock Exchange, right? We're on phones all day, and a trader's calling you. And, you know, I played basketball in Virginia. I came in with a reputation. Everybody assumed I was a 6'1" point guard from Fayetteville, Tennessee, who went to UVA. So they assumed I was.
What?
Black.
Oh, okay.
When I went to Virginia, Rick Carlisle met me the first time in the gym, and he was like, "Man, I'm sorry, I didn't know who you were, because I was looking for a Black guy."
Yes, Smith is a tough name. Smith is a tough name.
Yeah,
Mark, you probably get it a lot. People have no idea what you are.
Yeah, Mark is a chameleon.
You can get away with almost any. If you said you're Asian, you could probably get away with it.
Right. I've used so many different things at times. So what are you? And I would get if I got. If I felt like someone was being offensive, I'd be like, I'm Chinese and Hawaiian. You're like, oh, I see that. Yes. Yeah. What?
That's awesome. Good
stuff.
It is what it is. All right, fellas. We'll end it on that Hawaiian note.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. Who's hanging there? We're going to win more.
We're good.
Yeah.
We're good. Even if we're good.
Yeah, I say go crazy. Just be what I do, whatever makes you happy. If you want to be a critical, crazy fan, fanatical, do it. Whatever, man.
But don't call kids names out. That's my
thing. Yeah.
Be careful when you castigate kids.
Yeah, be respectful, but go crazy, man. It's fun. You should be glad we have sports. And it makes you feel this way. You're alive. That's it. We'll end it on that note.
Goes.